Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bert Show.
My new iPhone 18 came yesterday.
iPhone what?
Is that what it is?
It's 16.
20? 23?
Unless you know something we don't know.
27.
You hopping a DeLorean yesterday?
All I know is it's stupid. And it's a waste of money.
Why?
I don't care what number it is. I haven't played with it all that much. It doesn't do anything that the other ones don't do, man. I mean, I haven't played with the camera or anything, and I'm waiting for AI to come out and all that, but it just seems like the same damn phone to me.
The camera is better, for sure.
Is it?
That's the only thing that I've noticed in having the 16.
Cassie looking at me with those condescending eyes.
No, I'm not. Yeah, actually, I am condescending. I am shocked after 16 iterations of the exact same phone, you didn't catch on that it's going to be exactly the same as the last one.
Same thing, man.
Don't waste your money just yet. All right, Kristen, save relationships. That's what you do.
I saw this headline. Couples in successful relationships always use these six phrases from CNBC. And I was like, let me read these. Huh. These are actually pretty good.
How many of these six applied to you? Are you guys doomed?
No, we're not doomed. Just because my husband and I have been together for almost 20 years, I don't think longevity makes a successful relationship. I think like your level of happiness in your relationship determines its success.
Yeah, we've said this before. How many 90-year-olds that have been married for 50 years hated each other for 48 of them, but they stayed together because that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. That's not a success to me. So I'm going to go ahead and read through and I'll let you know which ones I think apply to us or not. Again, there's only six, but I was like, They got something good here. So the article starts, any good psychotherapist will tell you that there are pretty much no rules for how a person should behave in a relationship. Successful partnerships can take many forms. There is one piece of guidance that is a non-negotiable for any couple. You need to over-communicate. This doesn't mean saying everything that comes to your mind, but therapists have found that couples who clearly express their appreciation and empathy for one another have longer lasting unions. So the first thing, again, couples in successful relationships say these six phrases. The first phrase, I'm going to tell you something that may be upsetting to hear. Withholding potentially hurtful information from your partner isn't healthy, even if you believe it will make them uncomfortable. It's best to address any concerns you have. Just be sure to do it in a tactful way.
Yeah, I've been guilty of this over the years. It's just like you talk yourself out of it not being a big deal because you don't want to deal with the conflict. So you either bury it or you push it down the road and it always comes back to haunt you.
Yeah, but if you tell me you're going to tell me something that I don't want to hear, I might leave the relationship and not hear it.
Don't bother.
Just put your headphones on.
No, thank you.
It's all good. Uh-oh. Now, I say my husband and I have gotten better about this in recent years. I think the older we get and the more comfortable we get in our relationship, the more we can say that. I love my husband. I think I'm a little more tactful when I deliver that new, like those... That information than he is. We've had multiple discussions about tone and delivery, and it's something we're working on.
Okay. He's very straightforward. I mean, there's no high, no low. There's just like, he'd rather just tell you and move on.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't sugarcoat things.
Uh-uh.
I got a sweet tooth. I need this mofo to sugarcoat a couple things every now and then. All right, the next one. I need your support right now. To find out what makes love last, clinical psychologist and researchers John and Julie Gottman interviewed more than 3,000 couples and followed some for as long as 20 years. There is no formula for solving conflict, but some conversations are more fruitful than others. Mm-hmm. Your mission is to allow yourself to be vulnerable, to turn attack and defend into self-disclosure and openness.
So I attacked this a couple of years ago. I read an article, and now I do something with Amanda on most Mondays when I remember, and that's like, hey, what's going on in your life this week? And then she'll tell me how busy her schedule is, and immediately, before it's a problem, I'll say, what can I do to help?
Mm-hmm. I feel like my lady's really good at that, but I'm not. I'm horrible. I got to get better at asking for help when I need it.
Again, this is couples and successful relationships always use these six phrases. The next one, it's understandable you feel that way. Just because you might not feel the same way as your partner doesn't mean you can't validate their emotions. Mm-hmm. Saying it's understandable you feel that way can be reassuring and show you have empathy.
Yeah, in past relationships, I probably reacted with the words, that's ridiculous, too often.
Yeah.
That doesn't go over very well.
Kind of in the same vein, I never thought of things that way. There will be times when you want to meet your partner halfway or at least validate what they're saying. The Gottmans call these getting to yes phrases. By saying, let's compromise here, or I think your point of view makes sense, you're showing that you're listening to your partner, not just trying to establish your point.
Shifting my perspective to understand my partner's more is definitely something I've worked on.
The next one. I'm sorry for the part I've played in this. Mm. Owning up to what role you played in a conflict is essential for mutual growth. I can say Bart and I very good at this. Like after there is after there's a conflict, we can go in our separate corners and come back and apologize and take accountability for maybe not even necessarily things we said, but for not listening to the other person and taking things too personal, et cetera.
Yeah, in past relationships, I'd go to my separate corner, but it would be in Europe. That's where my corner was.
And the last one, let's find a solution. Successful couples solve problems together. Even if the challenge is outside the relationship, collaborating to find a solution can help strengthen your bond.
It's sometimes really tough to remember that you guys are part of the same team, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's key.
That's so crazy you said that. I saw the most amazing viral reel of a dad and a mom on vacation with their three kids, and he starts every vacation at the airport with the same thing. He looks at her, and he's like, same team, babe, same team, yeah. Same team, babe, same team, same team, babe. Sure. Same team.
The Bird Show.
All of a sudden, the Menendez brothers, there's a new interest in these brothers that ended up killing their parents back in the 80s. And up until yesterday, I couldn't figure out why all of a sudden, man, all eyes are on Menendez.
And then I didn't realize until I watched the documentary. So this is separate from the Ryan Murphy Monsters show, which is scripted. This is an actual documentary about the Menendez brothers. And there was this resurge of interest because of teenagers on TikTok. So they were taking a look at this story and what the brothers alleged their parents did to them. And I think because of Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her getting released from prison, they were like, she was abused by her mother. She did what she did, somewhat in self-defense, and now she's out. The Menendez brothers did what they did, somewhat in self-defense. They deserve to be out as well.
Yeah, if you are listening to this like later in the show on a podcast and you got kids in the car, we're probably going to be talking about things they don't want to hear. So that's your warning right there. So I went into this documentary because Mo and Kristen have been talking about it in studio for a couple of days now. And I'm like, I started to watch Monsters and I lost interest in it.
Same.
But then I watched the documentary based on your guys' excitement about it last night. And I felt my attitude changing about the whole thing pretty quickly. But I was conflicted.
See, same. And so it's so crazy, like, what you remember, right? And granted, I was 10 when the murders took place.
This was 1989, so I was drunk and high.
Yeah.
But I was a lot older than you.
And you don't remember much of the trial. There were two trials, because the first one ended up in a mistrial. And then in the second trials, both the brothers were found guilty and sentenced to life in prison, right? But when you watch the documentary and you see, one, the differences between the two trials, that in the second trial, they either had first degree murder or they get off. There's nothing in between. There's no like second degree involuntary manslaughter, none of that. And then I had no recollection of what Eric and Lyle said on stand in regards to what they alleged their their father did and that their mother did nothing to stop it.
And if you haven't watched it or don't know the story, the question wasn't if they did it. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't part of the court case. They definitely did it, right? Mm-hmm. It was just, how were they going to be punished and why did they do it? And would that have something to do with the sentencing?
So, and I will readily sit here and admit, when Abby first talked about the Monsters show, and no, that wasn't it. She was talking about Kim Kardashian, because Kim Kardashian was with Ryan Murphy, and they went and they talked to the Menendez brothers, because she's all about, like, you know, prison reform and the Innocence Project. And she said that she had met with Eric and Lyle and that she believes they should be released. Like, they are not a threat to the public, that they have paid the price of for what they did, and that, you know, considering what their parents did to them, they deserve to get out. And I was over here kind of like, you know, whatever, you met with them for 10 minutes, you know, blah, blah, blah. But having watched the documentary, and I say this and I preface this because my husband gets on me about this all the time. You have to know who's behind the documentary, because you can get a very skewed point of view. And I get that. But having watched the documentary and reliving Eric and Lyle's testimony of what they allege their father did and what their mother did not do to protect them, and then knowing how they've handled themselves in prison ever since they were sentenced, and what one of the brothers is doing for child assault victims, especially of, you know, child victims of family assault, I sat there at the end of that, like, yeah, I think they should be released.
Just let me pause for just 1 second, Mo, then it's all yours. There's a reason why we're not talking about some of the things that the parents or the dad did. They're just unspeakable.
It's so graphic,
so disgusting, and so unspeakable that it's impossible for us to have a conversation about this on mainstream radio without either getting fined or grossing you guys out so much that it's not even proper.
But my mama heart was just like, it was hard to stomach. It was hard to hear. Now, again, all of this stuff had been said on the stand during the first trial when it was a mistrial. In the second trial, none of that was allowed. Like, none of that, the jury didn't get to hear any of that. And so, you know, just hearing that and seeing that and watching these two brothers, you know, cry, I just, and listening to them now, I really just feel like, yeah, they've paid their debt to society. And what happened to them is just so horrific. And I also thought to myself, too, because it was such a graphic ending to the parents' life because of how many shots there were, I was like, that's a crime of passion. Like, that's not something like, hey, I want your money. That's, you did unspeakable things to me, and this is my last resort.
Yeah, so for me, I was so young when it came out that the only details I really remembered was how brutally the murders happened.
Yep.
and the shopping spree that came after.
Yep.
And that was really all I knew. So to me, I just always saw them as monsters, and that was the end. But then when I saw the resurgence on TikTok of a lot of teenagers saying, you know, what if they were women? Would it have gone the same? And I'm like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Where are you getting that from? Mm-hmm. So that's what made me want to go back and watch the documentary. And then that's when I saw the details of the abuse, the alleged abuse. There was also the testimony from I believe it's called Menudo, which was like the children's group
mm-hmm.
that the father was responsible for. And one of the children in that group alleges that the father did some of those same things to him that they allegedly did to the Menendez brothers. That's when I started to get a different take for it. And then mm-hmm. when you hear them on a stand speaking to the details, which are so horrendous, that you can understand how someone can get to a point of doing something like this, it changed my tune. On top of what stood out to me was, like, when you watched the first trial, they said that the jurors, it was odd how at that time all of the women felt like they should have got off, but all of the men mm-hmm. felt like they should not have, because at that time men did not accept that mm-hmm. men could be abused. No one really did. No mm-hmm. one thought that was a thing at the time. So if this trial were to happen today with what we know and how life has moved forward, maybe this would have gone differently. And then that's when I started to feel like maybe we should consider giving them a release.
Yeah, and I have a very personal hard line when it comes to this also. I told you guys, and I think some of you guys think that I'm joking about this, but I think when you touch a kid, you should be legally castrated, which is actually legal in like 11 states. I really think you do that because I've known too many people that have had that happen to them, and I see the lifelong effects and struggle and challenges they have. And it's such a betrayal of trust when you do that to a child. Now you add the layer on that it's your parents.
Your own father.
Your own father that is supposed to be the most protective person. So I went into the documentary thinking, look, murder is murder, man. You killed your parents. You should spend the rest of your life in jail. But after it, I understood it.
Yeah.
Then they thought that their life was on the line also. Mm-hmm. They thought that if they went downstairs, they weren't really sure what mom and dad was going to do. So they took the matter into their own hands. But when you look at the history of it, unspeakable things done to those. And I do think the way you do, they've paid their debt.
And I never thought in a million years, because it's just so crazy. I felt like I was so staunch. It's like, no, they did the crime. They do the time. They need. But then after watching that, I just think it's a reminder to open yourself up to like normalizing, changing your mind and taking in new information to alter your thinking, that you don't have to be stuck in one way of thinking.
Yeah, and don't get twisted on it. This is not the monster series.
No.
That was on Netflix. This is the documentary. It's a totally different thing. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Does Kayla Nicole deserve some grace for the, well, what some people are saying was a little bit of stepping in psycho story that she told us the other day? That is what they are currently debating on the Shade Room, so much so that she has now felt the need to come out and readdress her comments that she made in the first place. So if you haven't been following this story, Kayla Nicole is the former girlfriend of NFLer Travis Kelce, who has been making headlines lately because she told a story where once she dated, she didn't say who she dated, but she said she was dating someone, and that person was a celebrity, and that person ended up leaving her for another woman who is also a celebrity. And so she said, for whatever reason, that when Halloween came around after that happened, she decided to dress up as the celebrity that her ex-man left her for. And people got to talking.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately they found out that it made sense what she was saying, because it added up, because they found pictures of her dressed up like Teyana Taylor in that famous Kanye West video, which she looked amazing in
the
costume. She really did. But people were like tilting their head sideways at her because, one, why would you do that? And two, if you did do it, why would you tell us? So people then found out that she once dated Iman Shumpert, who I guess allegedly left her for Teyana Taylor. And then that's when she did what she did.
Whew.
Teyana Taylor didn't find this flattering because she used the term was famous at the time.
Yeah.
And Teyana Taylor feels like she's still famous.
Okay.
And she should.
Okay.
So she clapped back at her, told her all of the things that she's currently doing, Teyana Taylor, and why she is still famous, and basically asked her to leave me alone and felt like what she did was childish. So Kayla Nicole got so much heat for this that she went on a podcast with Brandon Marshall and decided to address what she tried to say the first time. And with this, you can determine if you feel like she deserves a little bit of grace.
As someone who wears the title of influencer, there is a part of me that cares about how I'm influencing people and what they think of me and what they have to say of me. So looking back on my decisions, even recently, sitting down and doing a podcast, I felt like there were moments where I articulated myself in a really good way. And then were moments where if I could go back, I would maybe change the way that I said things because it didn't fully embody my character or my heart. But that's something that I'm learning, right?
I want to give her some grace, y'all, but she ain't say nothing.
She talked a lot, but didn't have a lot to say.
Literally nothing.
Literally nothing. She just said, I wish I would have said it different. You couldn't have said it different. I still feel the same exact way I felt the first time.
You could have said something.
Yeah.
But she didn't even do that.
No, she gave us nothing.
What's trending now?
Go!
Kristen knows. It's the Burt House Entertainment Buzz.
Kristen Bell snuck in a not-safe-for-work joke into Frozen, and she's just now disclosing which one it is.
Years I've roamed these empty halls. Why have a ballroom with no balls?
How did we get that joke in there? Come on!
We slid it under the radar. It almost didn't make it in. But then we were like, what are you talking about? That's not what it means. Don't be a perv.
Why have a ballroom with no balls?
Well played. So that wasn't the initial lyric on it? She snuck that in?
No, I mean, it was, and it was a joke they were trying to sneak in, and they called them out for it, and she's like, what are you talking about? And it's a ballroom. You throw balls in there. Like, get your head out of the gutter. And they let it fly. And
she
so
gaslit them.
Yeah.
Well done.
All right, Liam Payne's fans feared for his health in the years leading up to his shocking death. So the singer, who died age 31, was reported to be acting erratically hours before his death, and the star's inner circle were recently said to be fearful for his welfare. So fans of the One Direction star noted Liam's bizarre behavior during recent appearances. Another worrying video showed Liam looking strained as he greeted fans, signing autographs, singing his song Familiar, as critics commented on the clip that he looked out of it. And then last year, Liam's fans shared their concern after he canceled his tour of South America after being hospitalized with a kidney infection. Now, former X Factor judge Sharon Osbourne has spoken out about Liam Payne's death and says, "We all let you down." She wrote, "Liam, my heart aches. We all let you down. Where was this industry when you needed them? You were just a kid when you entered one of the toughest industries in the world. Who was in your corner? Rest in peace, friend." Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't know the story of Liam Payne, I do find this very, it's sad and it's tragic, but his dedication and his work ethic was obviously inspirational. So he first successfully auditioned as a solo artist in 2008, but he was only 14 years old, and Simon Cowell was like, come back in 2 years. So 2 years later, at 16, in 2010, he wowed the panel, including his future love, Cheryl Cole, who he has a child with. And then within weeks, One Direction was formed with him, Harry, Louis, Niall, and Zayn.
You know, the last couple of days, I've said, I wonder what the price of celebrity has been paying in Liam's death. And I got a couple of DMs saying, look, child stars have been through this their entire lives. This is the same cycle we've seen over and over and over again. And I would submit that it is different now with social media. While there certainly was a push and pull with child stars back in the day, it's just very different now with mental health when it comes to absorbing all the criticism that you're getting and sort of feeling like you're the workhorse at 16 years old. It's just different now.
Yeah, I think it's easy from the outside looking in to feel like, you know, you signed up for it, you can do this, you can handle it. But I don't think anybody can really prepare themselves to fully deal with that many people giving you that many opinions on a daily basis at any age, let alone such a young one.
Yeah, I would also say, if you haven't seen it yet, Demi Lovato's Child Star documentary gives you a really good snapshot over the years on what it's like to be a child star and the effects it has when they're older.
All right, this announcement is perfect timing for you because you watched Garden State recently and introduced it to your girlfriend, Amanda.
Hey, it's one of my favorite romantic movies. What would you call it? Is it a rom-com coming-of-age type thing? What is it?
There's nothing rom-com about that.
It's funny.
It's got some funny moments.
Oh, that's a funny movie.
I wouldn't call it a rom-com.
It's romantic. There is funny moments, but it's also deep and like almost a coming of age. It's darkish,
yeah,
and quirky, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. So Zach Braff, who is the lead in the movie The Garden State, one of the leads in the movie Garden State, he had a very special announcement, which I thought you would love.
It's been 20 years since my film Garden State came out, and I never could have imagined that the film and the soundtrack would still be resonating with people two decades later. So we had an idea. What if we got together the brilliant musicians from the Garden State soundtrack live on stage for the first time ever to raise money for a great cause? Well, it's happening. I'm so excited to announce the Garden State Soundtrack 20th Anniversary Concert benefiting the Midnight Mission live for one night only on March 29th, 2025 here at LA's legendary Greek Theater.
It will be a great show. If you like the music in this movie, and if you haven't seen it, I almost feel like it's underrated. It's a really great movie.
Oh, I don't think it's underrated at all. I think people know it. That movie's become, it was underrated when it came out, but it's definitely appreciated now.
Thank you so much for letting me know about this. Seriously, Kristen.
Are you doing it?
Tickets go on sale today.
Correct.
I'm getting tickets for this.
Yes,
it's going to be at the Greek in L.A., and it's in March. And I'm asking off now. I will not be here. I am going to that show. That is my favorite movie soundtrack of all time.
It's a great soundtrack. It's a great movie. All right, if you want some more stories, you can always check out the Burt Show podcast and download wherever you do your podcasting downloading.
The Burt Show.
We used to call it, what petty hill would you die on? Like, not major issues, but like small, petty, superficial hills that you believe nobody else does, and you are willing to die for your right and your opinion.
And that's what BuzzFeed has done yet again. There is another list of... Hey, Katie, can we turn that light off?
What light?
It's blinding me right now, the one that's right in front of you.
I thought I died.
Yeah. I'm like, we have literally died on that petty hill, man.
Don't step into the light.
Oh, man.
We have on-air lights in here, and we have minute lights also that tell us when we're supposed to wrap things up, and it was just stuck on.
So, yeah, so this is the list that BuzzFeed has curated from the internet. People are sharing their pettiest hills to die on, and it's already a dumpster fire in the comments, it says. And it says, recently I asked the BuzzFeed community to share a small hill they are willing to die on. The results have convinced me that we are all driven by our own convictions, no matter how insignificant they may seem to one another. So one of them is, I refuse to pump my own gas. I don't care if people call me spoiled or an elitist. I won't subject myself to the smell, the germs on the handles, the possible compromise of the info on my credit card, or the danger of standing outside my car for an extended time. It's worth the extra money for me. Lucky Oregonians, by the law, they only have full service.
Yeah, and I think New Jersey also.
New Jersey. All of my friends from New Jersey feel like that.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe because I never use it. I didn't even know it was still a thing. Yeah.
Had no idea.
Oh, yeah, in Jersey, I don't think you pump your gas anywhere.
Right.
They always do it for you.
Fascinating. Next, Mo, this one will hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
Nickelback is great. Yes, I said it, great. It's a great band.
Talk about it. They got smashes, whether y'all accept it or not.
Great.
Great.
Or just not as bad as people make them out to be.
I'm not saying they're the best band of all time, but you can give them great. They got some smashes. All right. I'm not doing this with y'all.
Look at this photograph. All right. If you choose to sit outside while eating/drinking, you do not get to complain when some insect ends up in your food or drink. You don't get another for free. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually fair. Texting should only be used for short one sentence, maximum two messages of absolute necessity. Real phone conversations happen live, one-to-one, using voices.
I completely agree.
Real phone live conversations?
I
agree. I do not like getting 4 or 5 paragraphs of text messages. You could have just told me this when we talk later.
I'd rather do that all day long. I hate talking on the phone so much now.
I can't believe you think that.
I really do. I hate
being the introvert you are.
Yeah, probably because I don't like reading.
that thing you stand behind and put your notes on when giving a speech is called a lectern, not a podium. A podium is a raised dais. Thank you. Upon which a speaker stands. Mm. Then these two, back to back. Pineapple doesn't belong on pizza.
Fact.
Followed by the petty hill I'll die on is arguing over what pineapple on pizza is bleeping stupid. Just eat what you like. Who the hell cares?
Have you tried pineapple with jalapeno?
On pizza?
Uh-huh, together.
No.
Dude, it's a deadly combo, man. You got to at least try it once for me.
Really?
Yeah, it'll change your life.
All right, I'll try it.
A hot dog is a kind of taco, and you will never convince me otherwise.
We've been there.
Aaliyah will always be number one over Beyonce.
A lot of people feel that way.
Really?
A lot of people feel that way. Yeah, especially from millennials, for sure.
Bags of chips and popcorn should not be served during professional developments meetings. We are in a forced proximity where the audience is quiet to listen to the presenter and the snacks are so loud and annoying.
If Tommy were here, he would agree to that for sure.
Dogs belong on furniture and in beds. They spend their lives trying to make us happy. We can at least offer them comfort.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Mm-mm. They make doggy beds for a reason.
Right.
We have doggy beds, but they're also in the bed. They're also on the couch. I'm letting you know right now. Hey, I do my guest a solid. I have the lint roller that I will give you upon leaving my house. But if you sit on my couch, your ass is going to be covered in dog hair.
How many heartbeats do you have in your house every night, or in your bed every night?
Just Bart and I.
Oh, okay. I thought all the dogs were in there.
No. Willie, the big monster, the 120-pound one, used to sleep in the bed with us, but now he has a nice Tempur-Pedic bed that he likes to sleep on the floor.
Okay.
So all the dogs have their own space.
God bless America.
I know, right?
You look around the world, people are sleeping on the soil.
Everyone is just pretending to like steak. I grew up in a vegetarian home and started eating meat only in my late teens, and I swear I never ate a steak that was even remotely tasty. I tried many times in many different places, even in high-end restaurants, and they all taste like nothing and feel like a rubber sole.
Bugging. No way. Because you grew up in the vegan house.
Yeah. Yes. Just say you don't like steak.
No, but to them, they're like, no, yeah, that's their petty hill they're going to die on. All right, people who correct grammar on the internet are often more annoying than those who make the mistakes.
For sure.
True.
Not often.
I knew that was going to be the one.
Not often. Always.
Y'all need to learn the difference between I'm bawling my eyes out and a baseball. You need to learn the difference between an aisle you walk down and an island. And you need to learn how to spell tonight. It drives me insane.
Wait,
thank you.
How do they spell tonight?
It's T-O-N-I-G-H-T is how you spell tonight.
But I like spelling it T-O-N-I-T-E.
That's wrong.
Well, I've never noticed you do that, and I think it's because we're friends. I must have blacked it out, but my mom does it, and oh, my God.
So there's
I wrote a couple down.
Oh, you did?
Because I knew you were going to do this, all right? And this one is recent for me. Red Robin burgers are the top three burger in America.
Stop this.
Red Robin.
Have you had one?
No.
What?
I've never had one in my life.
They're pretty. I am more partial to the fries than I am the burger.
Hollis just introduced me to it, and I'm like, this is a mouth parade.
Really? Red Robin. Yes.
Red Robin.
They're delicious.
On the subject of burgers, too, Five Guys over In-N-Out all day, every day.
Well, Five Guys is my favorite burger in the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In-N-Out is overrated.
That's where I went yesterday.
Five Guys?
Because, you know, I had that stomach bug or whatever, and I hadn't been able to eat. I'm like, we're going to go back in. We're going to go back in hard. So I went yesterday to Five Guys. I didn't get a little fry. I got me a regular fry. And Jimmy and I polished that puppy off.
As you should have.
Another petty hill. Most people that drive selfishly or erratically have Florida license plates. You ever notice?
I'm not going to disagree.
You will. You'll start. All public bathroom stalls should be floor to ceiling.
Yes.
I like that one.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Movie musicals should have special edits. If you like musicals, you can see them in theater too. The other theater, you cut out the singing and you just have the talking parts of the musical.
Movie I like this. 6 minutes.
I used to edit out parts of songs I didn't like.
Really?
Yeah, and then I listened to my version.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you know what? Britney Spears and Oops, I Did It Again, where she has that stupid talk break about throwing the diamond into the ocean. I hated it, so I took it out.
And there are very few stage DJs that actually really need to be there. I mean, you're doing all the work before you get on there, and a bunch of them are on stage doing nothing anyway for theater, and most of them suck at it.
Nowadays, gotcha. That's true. Very true.
It's the Bird Show.
Hey, the Bird Show.
So your kid wants to be a streamer, and you're like, oh my God, what a waste. What? A streamer? Jackson came in here a couple of weeks ago and told you how much the top streamers are making, which might tweak your attitude about it. So now maybe you got a kid that wants to be in esports. They are playing sports online all day long, and you think it's a big old waste of time, huh? Well, they're making just as much money.
I realized that after the streamer break that I did, where we're talking about $100 million two-year contracts, we're talking about million-dollar donations, may have come out of the gate a little hot, okay? Because last night when I was doing research into this, spent about an hour and a half looking up a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was a little taken back by, I think I was a little shocked about, it wasn't as much as I thought it was going to be.
For esports.
For esports specifically. So esports, for those of you who don't know, is basically the competitive gaming industry. This is where people compete in tournaments to try and be the best. And not only is it for bragging rights, there's also a lot of money that goes into like these prize pools and tournaments.
Do we call them athletes? Esports athletes?
No.
We do not?
I would call them a gamer, but I wouldn't call them an athlete.
So what you have to know about esports also, if you don't know anything about it, there are some competitions where people will go and they will fill stadiums, 25, 30, 35,000 people will watch people compete on stage against each other. There are some countries now, I think Japan is giving out scholarships now in esports. They have dorm rooms just for their e-athletes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing, and I will say that it's here to stay, and it's only growing. So in 2021, that's the first time that the esports market specifically eclipsed over $1 billion in sort of their market value, and now it's risen to around $1.6 billion. And so it's really interesting seeing, because a lot of these players that compete at the highest level of whatever game it is that they play in are also content creators and streamers. So they're not solely making their money off of just their prize earnings when they, you know, win or place in tournaments. It comes from other things as well.
There's also a lot of sponsorship money that comes into play also. It's no different than being an athlete. I mean, a surfer that's traveling around the world has a sponsor also, right? No different than esports, and a lot of them, not many, but the top percentage makes a lot of money.
Yeah, definitely. And so I found some of the more interesting facts about sort of, you know, prize pools and viewership and things like that that I'm going to run by you guys. And I'm curious to know, like, how surprised are you by this, and sort of do you actually see a future in any of this? So to start, the single largest prize pool of any tournament was in 2021, and that was for a game called Dota 2, and that was $40 million.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
And that's the total prize pool. So similar to like how a golf tournament works, uh-huh. That's the entire pot, and then it's split up amongst the people who place.
I watched a documentary on this, and it is intense, especially when you have that kind of money for grabs. I mean, the politics in esports and team members on these teams competing for that much money is like any other sport.
What's Dota 2?
Dota 2 is this top-down game. It's a strategy sort of game. It's a 5v5 team-based game. And you play as, like, different heroes. And this game came out in, like, 2013, I think, and it's still more popular than ever. Honestly, mm-hmm. All of the biggest prize pools and top earners in this entire industry come from this game, which is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And so the number one winner of that won $18.2 million. That was what the first place winner got.
One tournament.
For winning the finals of this one tournament.
And was that split amongst
team members? It's split amongst the entire team, yeah. Exactly.
Still a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And something that's super cool about this tournament specifically is that the host of this tournament is actually the developer of the game itself, this company called Valve. And so there are in-game purchases that you can make, like that regular people like us can make as you're playing the game. And 25% of all of your purchases that you make in-game contribute towards this prize pool. So the more that you contribute to the game, the higher the prize pool is for the winners.
Good Lord, how much has the developer made on this game?
A lot
of money. Mm-hmm. A lot of money. So the single top earning esports player of all time is this guy from Denmark, Johan Sundsteen, who earned...
Oh, Sundsteen!
Sundsteen! Such good people!
So his career earnings are $7.2 million, and I'm not saying that that's not a lot of money, but honestly, I was a little bit shocked. I thought that it was going to be higher than that, and so after some more digging, I found that the top earner from a single tournament, this guy Kyle, Booga is what he goes by, this was 2019, the Fortnite World Cup in a solos tournament. He won $3 million for that one tournament by itself.
That feels like a lot of money to me. When you're talking about playing a video game, yeah, there's training involved and stuff like that also, but $17 million or $3 million for playing video games and esports seems like a tremendous amount of money to me.
So not being a gamer myself and not being married to a person who's a gamer. So I know people who game and it's like hours and hours and hours on end, right? So these tournaments... How long do they last? Because this isn't like mm-hmm. a Super Bowl game where you're like, you're investing probably like 4 hours of your time. So how long does a tournament last? Like, how do you figure out who wins?
It totally depends on the game. So for this one, for Fortnite, I remember watching this one live where this kid won, and he's not part of a team.
The Fortnite one?
The Fortnite one. So he won this on his own. So he won that $3 million. And, so for this tournament specifically, there's all these qualifiers that you have to play in prior to actually showing up to the event. And then the main event is what they call a LAN tournament, where everybody actually is getting together and playing in the same place. So this actually happened at Arthur Ashe Stadium up in New York. Mm. And I remember I was at a Braves game watching the finals on my phone when this was going on.
Are you serious?
And I watched this guy win. And he was 16-year-old yeah. kid, and he won this $3 million.
So it's really no different than Wimbledon or the U.S. Open, where you've got qualifiers that are leading up to the championship, so it could be a 3 or 4 day tournament.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Gotcha. And so usually at the end, it's like a sort of best of five, but then there's points that you get for how you place, you know, how many eliminations you get, all that kind of stuff.
Fascinating.
And for a little bit of reference, Scottie Scheffler this year, who won the Masters tournament, won $3.6 million for that. So this kid won $3 million playing Fortnite.
Damn.
Another big aspect of this entire industry are these esports organizations. So you think of them as like franchises, okay? And, these are organizations that sign a bunch of top players and you rep sort of their logo in your gamer tag as you're playing, and you play on behalf of these teams. And so they supply you with a ton of resources for like training, you get coached, like all this kind of stuff. And the top valued esports org is this organization called TSM, and they're valued at around $540 million.
What?
Yeah. And so for comparison, if you look at the valuation of the MLS's Chicago Fire FC or FC Dallas, they're right at around $540-$550 million.
Wow. Yeah. It's a whole industry, man. That's, it's a crazy ass, and it's still exploding.
It's absolutely growing bigger. I mean, I was a little bit taken back because I thought it was going to be bigger, but most of these people, like this whole industry is only growing. It's only getting bigger. And if you have a kid that has a knack for some of these games, it might not be a bad idea to let them pursue it.
Where were you 30 years ago?
Right. Hey, The Bird Show.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.